ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. శ్లోక 23 కఠోపనిషత్ సెక్షన్ 1 వల్లీ 2. నాయమాత్మా ప్రవచనేన లభ్యః న మేధయా న బహునా శ్రుతేన యమేవైష శృణుతే తేన లభ్యః తస్యైష ఆత్మా వివృణుతే తనో స్వాం. సో వి వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ శ్లోక ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ అండ్ యమధర్మరాజ హీ బ్రింగ్స్ అవుట్ 3 సాధనాస్ ప్రవచనం మేధ అండ్ శ్రవణం. That is, grasping the words of the mantra is adhyayanam, and grasping the meaning is shravanam, and medha is the ability to grasp and also to retain. But even if all these sadhanas are there, if tivra jignyasa or the tivra mumukshutvam, the craving desire to get moksha, if it is not there, they are useless. So what is important? Tivra jignyasa is most important, and that is the essence of this mantra. That's what we said. And now let us go into the shloka and see the meaning of the shloka. Ayam atma pravachanena na labhyaha. This atma, ayam atma, cannot be attained by mere veda dhyanam pravachanena na labhyaha. If one does not have the intense desire for moksha. Na medaya labhyaha. Again, ayam atma, this atma, cannot be attained by any amount of memorizing also. If one does not have the intense desire for moksha, then we have to add that to each one of them. And na bahuna shrutena. Even by repeated listening, shravanam, even for decades or even centuries, one cannot get this atma if this listening is not backed by the sincere desire for this knowledge, namely the divra jignyasa. That means what? A casual approach will not be enough at all. Then all these sadhanas will bless whom then? One might ask. Yame vaisha vrinute tena labhyaha. This atma can be attained by only those who choose the atma as the ultimate goal in life. Their value for dharma, artha, kama, or their value for prayas must be only subsidiary to their value for shreyas. Shreyascha prayascha manushyametaha tau samparitya vivinakti dhiraha. We already saw that earlier. Then, tasya yesha atma swam tanugum vivrinathe. To such a seeker who is sincere enough to choose atma as the ultimate goal, to such a seeker, atma reveals its swarupam. That means what? He gains atma jnanam effortlessly, very easily. Now this mantra has got another interpretation also, if you look at it. Instead of saying, one who chooses the atma will get atma, the other way around it is what? Whoever is chosen by the atma, that person will get atma. If you put the word God, it will be even clearer. For example, there are two observations. Some people will say that, I will get God if I choose God. So others may say, I will get God if God chooses me. Either I choose God and get God, or God chooses me and I get God. So the basic question will be whether I should choose God or God should choose me. Or to put in another language, whether self-effort is more important or Ishwara Anugraha is more important. In Vedanta, we always emphasize self-effort. We don't say God chooses a person and gives moksha. This we have repeated many times. Why? There are many reasons. The first main reason is what? If one says God chooses a person, it will certainly mean God is partial. Why should God choose a person and give moksha and keep all others suffer in samsara? That question would come. So God is supposed to be impartial, compassionate, all those things. And if God is partial, How can one have a partial God? How can one worship a partial God? Therefore, we emphasize self-effort all the time. Then there is a second reason also. We do admit that God's grace is important. Very true. In fact, as important as self-effort. Not that Vedantins are arrogant. We don't have bhakti or anything. In fact, they start the class with prayer only. Even every Vedanta class, we start with prayer only, seeking the grace of God. Then if Lord's grace also is important, why it is not emphasized? Self-effort only is emphasized. Why not God's grace emphasized? The reason is, according to Vedanta, God's grace is always there. One doesn't have to be emphasized at all. It is always there, like the solar energy. The sun need not give energy at a particular time. In fact, sun is made up of energy, full of energy only. In fact, it is not sun has energy, sun is energy. Not sun is, sun has energy, sun is energy. So what is required is, we have to tap the solar energy, which is all the time flowing. And those who tap the solar energy, they will benefit. As far as solar energy is concerned, it is always there. Similarly, God's grace is flowing all the time. Shankaracharya, actually, in the Saundarya Lahari, there is a beautiful shloka. Drasha dragiyasya, dragiyasya, dara dalita nilotpala rucha, daviyamsam dhinam, snapaya kripaya mamapi shive, anenayam dhanyaha bhavati, nachate haniriyata, vaneva harmeva, samakara nipato, himakaraha. Oh mother, Acharya is addressing to Goddess Mother. You are like a cool moonlight. Acharya doesn't want to call her sunlight because sunlight is very, very hot and harsh. And you don't have any partiality at all. Whether it is a palatial house or a slum colony, the moonlight will send the radiance uniformly. Similarly, your grace always, you know, flows everywhere. And since grace part is already there, then we have to emphasize only what? Our effort only. Self-effort only has to be emphasized. And when we emphasize our effort, we don't discredit the grace. What we mean is, grace is already there. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, instead of saying God chooses, he interprets as the seeker has to choose God. And that is called Tivra Jignyasa or Mumukshutvam. So Shloka 24. Navirato duscharitat, nashanto nasamahitaha, nashantamanaso vapim, prajnane nainamapnuyat. Here Acharya is giving, and the Upanishad is giving some more sadhanas. They are highlighting them. One of them is a moral life cycle. An immoral person cannot get benefit from Vedantic study. He may take Vedanta for his PhD. He may get doctorate degree. And he may get a job as a professor or whatever it is also. That is all possible. But if Vedanta has to bless with moksha, that student must be morally a very sound person. So, duscharitam, that must be ended. Duscharitam means immoral ways of life. One should give up. That is number one dharma. Then the next value emphasized is dhamaha or sense control, indriya nigraha, which we have seen actually in the sadhana chatushtaya topic in the Tatubodha lectures. Then the third sadhana emphasized is a focused mind, not a mind without direction, but a mind which has got a clear idea. So vyavasayatmika buddhihi, as Krishna says. So which was called in Tattvabodha as what? Chitta Samadhanam. That is the third value. Chitta Samadhanam. In fact, the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali is meant only to develop these values. Yama and Niyama will take care of moral life. Then Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, they will all help one person to gain control over external organs. Then Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi will help me gain control over internal organs. So, Samadhanam is the third sadhana. And the fourth one is Shamaha or mind control, thought discipline, Mano Nigraha. So, Shama, Dhamma, Samadhanam and Dharma. These are the four values that are emphasized here. And Yamadharmaraja says, if these four are not there, a person can never get knowledge. And even if he gets knowledge, it will be only academic knowledge, verbal knowledge. It will not bless that person. And this is what the crux of this mantra. So we can see the mantra now. Duscharitatim avirataha. One has not withdrawn from immortality. Means what? One is immoral. One is not withdrawn from immorality. So one is immoral who does not have any values. This person has no values. Then ashantaha. One does not have sense control without dhamma. And asamahitaha, one who does not have a focused attention, clarity with respect to the goal. And finally, ashantamanasaha, one who does not have mind control also. So all these four, that is without morality, without sense control, without focus, and without mind control, yenam na apnuyat, will never get atma, moksha. Such a person will never get it. Really speaking, they cannot get even knowledge. Where is moksha? No. But even if knowledge comes, it will be purely a superficial knowledge. It won't be a knowledge that will be in them, embedded in them. It will be in the head, but it will not sink into the heart. It will be an information only. It will not bring about a transformation. Aham Brahma Asmi will be mere words. It will not make any transformation in him. So he will be Vedantically educated samsari. That's what Swamiji says. He will be a Vedantically educated samsari. What is the use? And therefore Yama wants, if your study has to be meaningful, better make sure that you have all these values, dharma, shama, dhamma, and samadhanam. In short, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. So in these two verses, 23 and 24, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is highlighted. In the previous mantra, mumukshutvam was the highlight. Now the others are highlighted in this shloka. So now Yamadharmaraja concludes this discourse in the 25th mantra, which we will read. Shloka 25. Yasya brahma chakshatrancha ube bhavata odanaha mrityur yasyopasechanam kayittha veda yatrasaha. So, having taken a very small diversion into the topic of sadhanas in the last two shlokas, Yamadharmaraja, he now comes back to the old topic which started the topic of Atma Swarupam. If you remember, that was the topic of Atma Swarupam. And in this mantra, 25th mantra, he brings about another very important feature of Atma. It's a very, very important, very significant mantra. A mantra from which we can take many corollaries, if you really analyze the mantra. But a very symbolic mantra. First, we will give the meaning for this mantra. And later, we will see how the mantra brings about that meaning. The feature Yamadharmaraja brings here is, Atma is Jagat Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam. Jagat Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam. That is, the Atma is responsible for, is the cause for the creation, Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. So Atma is the basis, the very locus from which the world arises, Srishti, in which the world rests, Sthiti, and in which the world will resolve back, Layam. So this is the idea. And in this, Yamadharmaraja focuses on the last part. Atma is Laya Karanam. Atma swallows the whole creation at the time of Pralayam. This is the essence. And here Yamadharmaraja wants to show that time is also an integral part of creation, which was not understood by scientists actually. In classical physics, for example, they thought time and space are separate entities. They exist eternally. And the creation will appear and disappear. Time and space will be there, like this, for example, this room, hall. But only later, physics, especially the theory of relativity, etc., have found that you can never separate the time from the creation. Time is like a property of creation, which is an integral part of creation, which means we can talk about creation only along with time. And when creation is not there, we cannot even talk about time. From this important idea, we get many, many important corollaries also. And one important corollary is what we will see here. Details are discussed actually in the Mandukya Upanishad. So, you know, sometime if you happen to do that, we'll see that. But here, at least some in nutshell. So, we look upon time as an integral part of creation. Whenever we talk about the original nature of creation, we are talking of the origination of time also. So, someone asked the question, when did creation come? It amounts to asking, when did time come? The time concept come? And to this question, we can never give a logical answer because I cannot say time came at 7 a.m. Time came at 8 a.m. Why? Because if I have to talk about time coming at 7 a.m., it means even before time came, there was time 6 a.m. 5:39 was there. So to talk about the beginning of time, we need what? We need another time, a reference time. And to talk about that time, we will need another time. We will get into either infinite regress problem or self-dependence logical problem. Therefore, we can never answer the question, when did time come? Because the very word when is meaningless before time. When itself is time. That is why we say that the universe is anirvachaniyam, logically inexplicable. It cannot be explained at all. We cannot say when time came, when, where space exists. We cannot say how, you know, causality came into being. All those we cannot say. All these three are logical absurdities. Thus, we can derive all these corollaries from this mantra. We will keep them aside and come to the main topic here first. Yamadharmaraja says, the creation along with time came from Atma. Creation along with time came from Atma. And creation along with time is swallowed by Atma. And this idea is conveyed symbolically by comparing the world as a food of Atma. Atma consumes as a food of Atma. Odanaha. Odanaha means annam. So at the time of Pralaya, Atma swallows the whole world as food. So we can imagine the same part of the world is like, for example, whatever annam we can think of, whatever we like, you know, sambar rice or some rice, whatever it is. So some other part is, so the some part of the world is like this food, some other part is some other food, and the last part is whatever it is. So all of them are all swallowed by at the time of Pralaya. They are all swallowed. So all these things, and so Yamadharmaraja says, it is the time which is swallowed. The creation is like, for example, the main dish. And time is like, for example, a side dish. Atma swallows the creation along with time, which includes space also. So once we say Atma swallows time and space, it is very clear that Atma is beyond time and space. Because it swallows time and space means what? It is beyond time and space, which means Atma is not locatable in time and space. Atma is not locatable in time and space. Therefore, we should never ask the question, where is Atma? If I have to answer that question, Atma has to be located in space somewhere. I can never ask that question because Atma is not located in space. On the other hand, space itself is within Atma. Similarly, we should not ask the question, when did the Atma arrive? To talk about that, Atma has to be located in time. That is never possible. So time itself is within Atma. So all conventional questions regarding Atma cannot be answered. That is why those scientists who study the nature of consciousness, they begin to say that consciousness is always a mystery. It does not fall within physical or chemical laws. It does not have any physical or chemical parameters. In fact, consciousness cannot be located at all. For all those modern scientific discoveries, we have got the fundamental basis in this particular mantra. Thus, Atma is Jagat, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. And along with that, Desha, Kala, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam, And that is what sits here actually in the in Dakshinamurti Stotram also. We concluded those lectures just about a few months ago. Bijasyanta Rivankaro Jagadidam Prang Nirvikalpam Punaha Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Vaichitriya Chitrikritam. That's what we saw that. So time, space and creation, they arose out of this Atma only. And last one more point is, before coming to this mantra, Yamadharmaraja wants to say, creation is food, odanaha, annam, and time is like a side dish, pickled maybe, let us say. But instead of using the word creation, Yamadharmaraja says, all the brahmanas and kshatriyas are food for Atma. Instead of using the word creation, he says, all the brahmanas and kshatriyas are food for Atma. That is why this is a mystic mantra. And why does he say like that? Because the brahmanas and kshatriyas are supposed to be the most prominent people in creation according to Shastra. Let us not analyze today's this thing and all. Let us not go into any logical reasoning. Shastra says like that. Why so? Brahmanas are defined as those who teach and follow dharmic way of life. Otherwise, he is not a brahmana. If a brahmana is not doing this, following dharmic way of life, teaching dharmic way of life, he is not a brahmana. One who is dedicated to the study of scriptures, Vedas and dharma and their propagation, he is a brahmana. And dharma is very important for the survival of the creation. Without dharma, creation cannot survive. So for the survival of the world, dharma is important, and dharma is protected by brahmanas by teaching and living, by demonstration. Therefore, brahmana is important, according to Shastras, as I told you. And kshatriyas are also important because they are supposed to provide the infrastructure for a dharmic way of living by maintaining the law and order system, a court of law, so many things. So, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. A kshatriya, by protecting dharmic people and destroying adharmic people, a kshatriya also maintains dharma. So, kshatriya by punishment and brahmana by teaching. Not only just punishment, but also protecting so many ways. So these two people, they protect dharma, which protects the creation. So creation is protected by dharma, and these two people are supposed to protect this dharma itself. So these two are very important. So Yamadharmaraja says, the whole creation, along with brahmana and kshatriya, is food for Atma. Now if you look at the mantra, brahmacha kshatrancha. Brahmacha means brahmanaha. Not Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma. This Brahma here means Brahmanaha. And Kshatriyaha. Kshatrancha means and Kshatriyaha. These two represent what? The entire creation. Ube. Ube means both of them. Bhaktaha Odanaha. They become the food. Bhavataha Odanaha. They become the food. Yasya. Yasya here refers to whom? Atmanaha. For this Atma. So for this Atma, this entire creation is food. At what time? During pralaya kale, it becomes food. And what about time principle? If brahmana and kshatriya are food for the entire this thing, what is the time principle? Mrityuhu yasya upasechanam. Upasechanam means a side dish. Can be liquid, solid, semi-solid, anything it could be. So for consuming the main dish, whatever we take is called upasechanam. Upasechanam. So, and when Atma swallows the creation, what is Upasetanam? The time principle. That is why Lord Shiva is called Kala Kalaha. Yama for Yama. You know, he is the Lord Shiva is the Yama for Yamadharmaraja himself. So one who is the swallower of Kala, the time, the Yama. So in fact, every Jnani is Kala Kalaha. If you really think, every Jnani is Kala Kalaha. So Mrityuhu Upasetanam. So Ka Itta Veda. Which seeker will know this Atma in this manner? Ka itta veda. How many seekers know this Atma in this manner? Indicating there are only very few, not too many people, only very few people will know who can know Atma in this manner. And yatra saha, who can say where the Atma is located? This is also not a question. There is the answer inside actually. Who can say where is the Atma located? Means what? No one can talk about the location of Atma also. It is beyond space. That means Atma is never located. Everything is located in Atma. With this Atma Swarupa description is over for the time being. So, Madhurama Raja concludes the description of Atma Swarupam for this time being, and with this, the second valley of the first section also is over. Now we have to move to the third valley of the first section, and before that, let us just only try to remember what was discussed in the first two valleys briefly. So, actually, in the first valley, the Upanishad presented the conditions for teaching Atma Vidya, but it did indirectly providing the quality of the qualifications of the student, of the teacher, and the glory of this knowledge. So through the third boon, if you remember the story, through the third boon offered to Nachiketas by Yama, self-knowledge was asked by Nachiketas. And this came in the first section, 20th mantra, if you remember, which was repeated in the second section, 14th mantra also. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, anyatra asmat krita kritat. I mentioned at that time itself. These are all very, very important shlokas. Anyatra bhutascha bhavyascha yattat pasyati tat vada. So please teach me that Atma which is beyond all pairs of opposites. In short, the absolute reality. Please explain that to me. That's what Nachiketas asked Yamadharmaraja. And as a reply to this question, the entire Kathopanishad proceeds, and actual teaching begins from the 18th mantra of section 2. I mentioned all this during the talk. From 18 to end of the second section, that is the 25th mantra, Atma Vidya was presented in a condensed manner. We saw some of the very important features of Atma. Atma is Chaitanya Swarupaha, is Nirgunaha, Nirvikaraha, that means free from all modifications, Akarta, Abhokta, without Karma and Karma Palam. It is Sarva Adhishtanam, the essence of the entire creation. And finally, Srishti Stiti Laya Karanam. It is the substratum from which the whole creation arises, exists and resolves. And Yamadharmaraja said, not only Atma is the substratum from which the whole creation comes, even time and space themselves, they arise and rest and resolve into Atma only. Through which Yamadharmaraja conveys an important and significant idea, Atma is not in time and space. On the other hand, time and space are in Atma, and therefore Atma is unconditioned by not and confined by the Desha and Kala. It is Desha Kala Atitam. So we should never ask the question, where is Atma? The very question is wrong. The spatial location is absurd and is unanswerable. Similarly, when did Atma come also is wrong question. Time-wise location also is not there. So Desha Kala Avadibhyam Nirmuktam Narayaniyam. First lokam it says, Deshakala avadibhyam nirmuktam, nityamuktam, nirgun, nigama, shata, sahasrena, nirbhasyamanam. Narayani, first verse. Presents Guruvayurappan in this manner actually. By naming him, Guruvayurappan, we are locating the Lord in Guruvayur. That's what we think. That is our mistake. Bhadrahari Narayana Bhattatri in Narayaniyam, he says that we cannot locate you, O Lord, because all 14 lokas are located in you, in the Atma. What do we mean by the word Atma? We should not forget, it's first person singular I. That is it. So all the features of the Atma, they indicate my features. And so I have to train myself assimilating these features by claiming all of them, owning up. I am that. I am Nirvikaraha, Nirgunaha, Akarta, Abhokta, Sarva, Jagadadhishtanam, all that. This is called Atma Vidya or self-knowledge. So, by comprehensively presenting the nature of Atma, Yamadharmaraja has briefly answered the third question of Nachiketas. And with that, the second valley is over, or the first section is over. And now we have to enter into the third valley, the third and final section of the first chapter. There is another chapter with the three sections that are still there. We have to see after this. So in this following section also, the third valli, Yamadharmaraja is going to focus on Atma Vidya only. And if anyone claims, oh Yamadharmaraja, I have already got Atma Vidya from the second section itself, second valli. Yama will say, you need not listen to the third valli. You are all past. That's what he might say. Since the teaching is too subtle, Yamadharmaraja feels puna punaha abhyasaha is required. Again and again, one has to drill into the mind. Then only at least some portion of it will sink. So Yamadharmaraja, he is not tired. He wants to continue the teaching. So in Brahma Sutra, it is said, avrittihi asakrit upadeshat. Only when you listen to the teaching repeatedly, again and again, when an ant runs on a rock repeatedly, even the rock will wear out. That's what they say. Even when an ant runs on a rock repeatedly for ages perhaps, even the rock will wear out. Similarly, we have to listen to this repeatedly so that slowly it will sink into us. So the third valli also is going to talk about Atma Vidya only. But here Yamadharmaraja focuses on the qualifications required. Atma Vidya Sadhanani, the preparation. Then Atma Vidya itself will be talked about. And of course, Atma Vidya Palam will be talked about. So these are all three topics. Atma Vidya Sadhanam, Atma Vidya itself, and Atma Vidya Palam. Or in other language, Jnana Sadhanam, Jnanam, Jnana Palam. So these are the things to be talked about now. So these are the topics of this valli. Now let us enter into the first mantra of the third valli of the first section. Mantra 1. Kritam pibantau sukritasya loke guham pravishtau parame parardhe chayatapau brahma vidho vadanti panchagnayo yecha trinachiketaha. So Yamadharmaraja, he begins this particular section by introducing the Jivatma and Paramatma. In Vedanta, only these terms will be coming often. So, and we should be focused in comprehending all these. Otherwise, one can get very easily confused. So, this is a very significant mantra, very, very important mantra also, which has been analyzed in Brahma Sutra, in an Adhikaranam called Guha Pravishta Adhikaranam. In Brahma Sutra, there is one Adhikaranam, which is called Guha Pravishta Adhikaranam. So just mentioning this, essentially to show that this is an important mantra. We don't have to go into Brahma Sutra now, just only to show how important this mantra is. Because Vyasacharya, he chooses to analyze this particular thing in the Brahma Sutra very well. Of this, the Jivatma and Paramatma has been talked about before in the second section itself, that we have seen in detail. Paramatma was talked about. Now we have to remember the features of the Paramatma, as we learned there, as the word Paramatma shows, it is the all-pervading infinite consciousness. That is Paramatma, all-pervading infinite consciousness, or Desha Kala Atitaha Desha Kala Anavachinna Chaitanyam. So that is what it is. And Atma is Chaitanyam, and Parama means infinite. And since Paramatma is all-pervading consciousness, it can be only one. So it is Ekaha. Atma is Ekaha, means non-dual, there is no two. And it is Nityaha, it is eternal. And it is Sarvagataha, it is all-pervading, like space, you know, it's all-pervading. So being all-pervading, it cannot undergo any change. It is Nirvikaraha. And so only it cannot even travel from place to place, place one place to another, because the all-pervading one cannot travel. What is travel? What, for example, if I travel means what? I go from a place where I am to a place where I was not. So that is travel. Whereas Atma being everywhere, all-pervading, there is no, it cannot travel. Okay, so how can all-pervading space can travel? No. So it is achalaha. We have to remember the Gita Shloka actually. Nitya sarvagatasthanuhum achaloyam sanatanaha avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate. In fact, if you do not correlate the studies, then, you know, if we can correlate from what we learned in the Gita shlokas and in these topics, we will benefit quite a lot. Parallel ideas have to be strung together. That is the idea of learning several things. So this all-pervading consciousness will be everywhere, including my own body, mind, all that. So guham pravishtaha, guham here refers to the mind, the buddhi, the antakarana. Mind here refers to the antakarana, inner equipment. So Paramatma pervades everywhere, including the mind of the individual. Then the scriptures point out that our mind has got an unique capacity. No doubt, it is made up of inert matter only. It's a subtle form of matter. People generally define mind as a flow of thoughts. We don't say mind is flow of thoughts, but mind has the flow of thoughts. Mind itself is not flow of thoughts, but mind has the flow of thoughts. Mind is a substance, matter, like a lake or sea. In the substance called mind, thoughts arise and dissolve. In the lake or in the ocean, the waves arise and dissolve. And even when thoughts are not there, mind continues to exist as a material substance. These are all fundamental things we should understand clearly. In sleep, thoughts are not there, but mind is there thoughtlessly. There is no thoughts in the mind. How do we know that? Next day, it comes to function. So mind is a subtle substance made up of what? Apanchikritam. Panchamahabhutaihi kritam. Apanchikrita panchamahabhutaihi kritam. We already went through this panchikaranam and all these topics in Tattva Bodha, so people can refer to those notes. It is made up of the five subtle elements. Being subtle matter, mind is inert only. So like what? Like any inert object in creation, mind is also inert. Even though it is an inert substance, mind has a unique capacity. And what is that capacity? It can reflect the all-pervading Chaitanyam or consciousness. Or it can manifest the all-pervading consciousness. Or it can capture the all-pervading consciousness. So the mind can become a sentient entity, which this book, for example, if you take this book or any of this computer or anything, they cannot. Even though this book also, this computer also is matter, and consciousness pervades this computer, this book also, but it cannot capture consciousness and become sentient. It does not have the capacity, but mind, being endowed with a peculiar configuration, like the filament of a bulb, when electricity flows through the filament, it can become bright. But pass the electricity through water, it does not become bright, because it does not have the capacity or the property to become bright by borrowing electricity. Similarly, the mind captures consciousness. It has the ability to capture consciousness. This captured or manifested or reflected consciousness is technically called Chaitanya Pratibimbaha or Chid Abhasaha. We have introduced all these topics earlier, but I'm just only going through now for people who have not had the opportunity to listen earlier in the other lectures, Tattva Bodha and others. So Chaitanya Pratibimba or Chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness, just as the filament becomes bright because of borrowed electricity, the mind also becomes sentient. Atma is also sentient. Mind also is sentient. What is the difference then? Atma is intrinsically sentient, but mind is not naturally or intrinsically sentient, but is sentient because of borrowed blessing. From what? From Atma. Now mind is what? Chetana Antakaranam. Mind is called Chetana Antakaranam because of what? Chidabhasaha or Chaitanya Pratibimbaha, reflected consciousness. And what is the nature of this Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness? In fact, we have seen this also in Tattva Bodha, but again as a refresher, what is the nature of this reflected consciousness? We can call it RC. I use the same term there also, reflected consciousness. And the all-pervading consciousness, we call it as OC, the original consciousness. So that is this original consciousness OC and reflected consciousness RC. And the reflection is formed in the mind. We call this what? The reflecting medium. The mind is the reflecting medium. Now we will analyze the features of the reflected consciousness, the chid abhasa. The first feature is that what? It is located. The chidabhasa is located. Reflected consciousness is located, whereas the original consciousness does not have location. It is infinite, all-pervading. The reflected consciousness has to be necessarily located. Where? It should be located in the reflecting medium. Reflecting medium is the mind. My reflected face will be only in the mirror. If I stand before a mirror, my reflected face will be only in the mirror. So the first feature is, it is finite or limited, parichinnaha. That is the reflected consciousness. It is limited or finite. And the second feature is, it is subjected to change. It is savikaraha. Whereas original consciousness is nirvikaraha. This is subject to change, savikaraha. How? As even the reflecting medium changes or moves, the reflection also moves backward and forward. Not only that, this chidabhasa will be anekaha. There will be many reflections. It is not one, because how many reflections are possible? As many reflecting media are there, so many reflections are possible. So even though the original sun is only one, if we have 10 mirrors, there will be 10 pradibimba suryaha. And so chidabhasaha will be how many? As many jivas are there, including a mosquito. So parichinnaha, savikaraha, anekaha. Not only that, this chidabhasa is subject to travel from one place to another. And so it is called gamana agamanavan. That is another feature. Gamana agamanavan. And since this chidabhasa is associated with the mind, and the mind is associated with the body, the chidabhasa is capable of doing action. So it becomes a karta, because jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, the sense organs, the organs of action, the sthula shariram, they are all there. So boga ayatanam is there, boga sadhanani are there. So chidabhasa becomes karta. And once it becomes a karta, what is the natural consequence? Once it becomes a karta, it is a bhokta also, right? So what does the chidabhasa do? This chidabhasa, that is the reflected consciousness, is functioning through this body, doing varieties of actions, reaping varieties of results. And not only that, after doing this for some time, it gets out of the body along with the mind. So the mind plus chidabhasa quits this physical body after death and they travel. Mamaivamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha mana shashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. So this chidabhasa along with the mind goes out of the body. Then this physical body becomes what? It becomes a dead body. So when this chidabhasa leaves this body, this physical body, gross body, becomes a dead body. So what is the referent of a dead body? It is the body in which there is no chidabhasa. So chit, the all-pervading consciousness, is there or not? We have to be very careful. Chidabhasa has left. Then the chit, the all-pervading consciousness, is it there or not? Chit is there. Just as in the mic or desk or in the book, it is there. So in the dead body also chit is there, but is not sentient, because chid abhasa is not there. Reflecting medium is there. It lost the property to reflect. So if you have to differentiate between a living matter and a dead matter, how do we differentiate? Dead matter has one consciousness. Living matter has got two consciousness. That is, dead matter has only original consciousness, whereas living beings have both the original consciousness and the reflected consciousness. Once the reflected consciousness goes away, the body becomes a dead body. And the scriptures say that this reflected consciousness is called Jivatma. So we went through all these discussions because we mentioned in the beginning that we are talking about Jivatma, Paramatma. Paramatma was discussed in detail in the second valley. So we are now talking about Jivatma here. So that is where we came from with respect to all these discussions. So original consciousness is called Paramatma, and this reflected consciousness is called Jivatma. And the mind is endowed with both original consciousness and reflected consciousness. And suppose the mind perishes, for example. Of these two, reflected consciousness part will go away, but the original consciousness part will survive. When the body goes away, reflected consciousness is gone, this sthula sarira. So only original, so chit alone is there. So even though both are chaitanya, one is original and the other is reflected. Their features are diagonally opposite. Because original consciousness is all pervading and reflected consciousness is individually pervading. So now if you make a comparative analysis of both, now if you take reflected consciousness and original consciousness, reflected consciousness is parichinnaha. Original consciousness is aparichinnaha. Reflected consciousness is anekaha, many. Original consciousness is ekaha. It is savikaraha, subject to modification. Whereas original consciousness is nirvikaraha. Reflected consciousness is anityaha. It is ephemeral. It is not eternal. Whereas original consciousness is nityaha. Reflected consciousness is karta. Doership is associated. Whereas original consciousness is akarta. Reflected consciousness is bhokta. Original consciousness is abhokta. And reflected consciousness is chalaha. And that is achalaha. So they are diagonally opposite in their features. And this Jivatma and Paramatma are there in every individual. So Yamadharma Raja brings like that. Now if you look at the shloka, Chaya Tapau Jivatma Paramatmanau Bhavataha. That is the Jivatma and Paramatma which are like Chaya and Atapaha. Chaya Tapau. Chaya and Atapaha. Which are diagonally opposite. Like Chaya. Chaya means shade. Shadow. And Atapaha means sunlight. So just as light and shade are opposite to each other. Similarly, Jivatma and Paramatma are diagonally opposite. So we have to add Iva. Chaya Tapau Iva. Like the Chaya and Tapau. Atapau. Comparable to shade and light. And by using the word light and shade, the teacher implies another significant idea also here. Shade cannot exist without light. And so it has dependent existence. It is mithya. If you again remember the Vedantic terms, it is mithya. So one is mithya and the other one is satyam. So such Chaya Atapaha Iva Jivatma Paramatmanau Bhavataha. We have to supply these two are residents of the individual. And where do they reside? It is said first line Loke. Loke means Sharire. Here Loke means not the world. Sharire, the body. And in the physical body also where? Guham Pravishtav. In the mind, the lodge. In the residence of the mind, which is in the body. And within the mind also where? Parame Parardhe. In the sacred space, comparable to the sanctum sanctorum of a temple. If the body is the temple, mind is the sanctum, and within the Garbhagraha, the sanctum of mind, the Atma, the Atmas, actually the Jivatma and Paramatma, they are present. Atmas in Sanskrit dual. And the sacred place is given a title, Parardaha. Parardaha is that sacred place. So para, paramatma, ardaha means space, sthanam. Ardaha here doesn't mean half. Normally it means half. Here it is not half, it is sthanam, the place. The abode of paramatma, the sacred abode of consciousness. So this sthanam is sacred not because of jivatma. It is like in the temple. Deity is there and devotees are also there. Temple is sacred not because of devotees, but because of the Lord. I am also there in the temple. And what are they doing there? Ritam pibandhav. Karma palam in this context. Ritam means here karma palam. Not a regular dictionary meaning. We should not take that. So if you go to dictionary and then analyze all these, it will be you won't find it very difficult. So regular meaning of ritam is truth or reality. That is the regular meaning. But here it means karma palam. So pibandhav. Pibandhav means consuming. The jivatma is busy doing what? Consuming karma palam. The jivatma, he is taking this karma palam all the time. How do we know? Sometimes he laughs. Sometimes he cries. Sometimes he laughs and cries together. All these things happen. Right? What does it mean? Consuming karma palam. All the karmas, whatever he has done, karma param he is consuming. When the karma param is good, enjoys, laughs. Karma param is bad, cries. When both are together, it's a mixture. So when punya karma palam is consumed, he smiles. When papa karma palam, cries. So whose karma palam? Sukritasya. The karma palam of one's own karma. It is not transferable, no escape. I cannot transfer my karma palam to another person. It is all, I have to only suffer or enjoy my own karma palam. I cannot transfer to another person. So sukritasya, swayam kritasya. One's own action. Su means here swayam. Also, it's a contextual meaning also. So we cannot say father's karma is experienced by children. We cannot say all that. Some may think father's business is going well and he enjoys. Along with him, his son, wife, they are also enjoying, right? In reality, we see father's business is going well. Along with that son also, they are all enjoying. No, they also enjoy because they have got the punyam to be the son or wife of such a successful father or husband. It is not that father earns and they enjoy. They have done something to enjoy that. So sukritasya, that should be connected to ritam. And we just, you know, mentioned ritam as karma palam. So sukritasya ritam pibantav refers to the jivatma paramatmanav, actually pibantav, the dual. So consuming the karma pala, the jivatma and paramatma are residing. Here, there are some technical problems also. In the Mundaka Upanishad, this idea is discussed through a tree example there. Dvam Suparnam Sayuja Sakayam Samanam Vriksham Parisha Swajate. So there is a statement there. So this Jivatma and Paramatma are like two birds in the individuals. And there it was said, Jivatma consumes the karma palam and Paramatma remains as a witness. He does not enjoy karma palam. Tayor anyaha pippalam swadu atti anashnan anyo abhichakashit. So that is what it says there. So whereas here the Upanishad says ritam pibantav. Grammatically it is dual actually pibantav. That means what? Both the Jivatma and Paramatma are the consumers of the karma palam. So there it was said, only Jivatma consumes, Paramatma doesn't consume, it is just only sitting. Whereas here, Ritam Pibantav, Pibantav is dual. So grammatically it is dual, so that means what? Both Jivatma and Paramatma, they consume Karma Palam. Then is it not contradictory? How come the dual number be used here? Shankaracharya, he says in his commentary, so Chatri Nyayat, this is called Chatri Nyayat, it is not the is not that the Paramatma consumes, because Paramatma is closely associated with Jivatma, and since Paramatma is blessing, is involved in this, it looks as though Paramatma is experiencing. That is what he says, Chatri Nyaya. Therefore, you should say, one is directly experiencing and the other is as though experiencing. It is not directly, but as though, because of proximity, it is as though. So these two, Jivatma and Paramatma, are in the mind of everyone. And now he says, these Jivatma and Paramatma are talked both in the Karma Kanda and in the Jnana Kanda of the Vedas. So in the Veda Purva Bhaga, there is a Karma Kanda portion, they are there. And also in the Veda Anta Bhaga, there is the Jnana Kanda portion. So the Jnanis also talk about these two, and so are Karmis. Jnanis also talk about them. And the Karmis also talk about them. That is said here in the third line. Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. Brahma Vidaha refers to Jnanis. Who focus on that Jnana Kanda of the Vedas. They talk about these two. And what is the difference? In Jnana Kanda, what is the thing? The hero is what? Jnana Kanda is Paramatma. Jnana Kanda talks about only Paramatma. So we are talking about more of the Akarta, Abhokta, Sarvagadaha, Shuddha, Paramatma becomes the hero there in the Jnana Kanda. Whereas in the Karma Kanda, the Jivatma is the Karta. He does this puja, that puja, this homa, done by the miserable Jivatma. Who is Karta? Who is bothered about the Prarabdha? Bothered about all the Parihara and all that. So he says, Panchagnayaha Trinachiketaha. These are all technical words, Panchagnayaha and Trinachiketaha, referring to the ritualistic people. So Panchagnaya means what? in the second chapter, we say actually the word Agni has got several meanings. We have seen that earlier. Second section, we have seen that. One of the meaning is the special fire. I explained all that at that time when we talked about the Nachiketa Agni. So the special fire, which is kindled specifically for a specific ritual. It's a special fire. Kindled at a particular time, at a particular place, particular way, chanting particular mantras. It's all specific. In fact, when a person becomes a grahastha, he has to maintain different types of fires. Actually, in the Vivaha Samskara, after this was just concluded yesterday, we are going to talk about many other rituals. We are going to talk about how the Agni is divided into three and all that. So when he wants to do certain yajnas, he has to use only a particular fire. When it is a household samskara, he wants to do some homa, something, Aisha homa, something, upanayanam, another type of fire. Even the homa kunda will vary. It will be square some cases, rectangular some cases, semicircle some cases. And these specific fires, they have got names also. There are actually five specific fires are mentioned in the Karmakanda portion generally. Gargapati Agni, Ahavani Agni, Dakshina Agni, Sabhya Agni, and Avasatya Agni. So there are five different Agnis are mentioned. So these are five specific fires specifically kindled and maintained for specific rituals. And so the karmis, the ritualists, they are known as panchagnayaha, those who use the five different types of agnis. And the final meaning is what actually? It's a ritualist, that's what it is. And similarly, the word is trinachiketaha. We have seen the meaning of this in the second section actually. This also refers to a ritualist who performs a specific ritual three times, trinagnichetaha. So trinachiketaha. And what is that ritual? Nachiketa ritual. Nachiketa Agni, that's three times at least. And do you remember actually what is that? Hopefully, you know, if you remember that, mantra 12 to 14, those who perform Nachiketa ritual thrice, they are called Trinachiketaha. We have seen this earlier. So, Panchagnaya and Trinachiketaha means generally all these ritualistic people. Okay, what about them? They also talk about Jivatma and Paramatma. So the jnanis also talk about Jivatma and Paramatma. These ritualists also talk about Jivatma and Paramatma. What is the difference? They are always bothered about Jivatma only. These ritualists, their punyam, papam, karma for themselves, for pitras. They are also worried about what will happen when I die. Who will do my shraddha and tarpana for me? When I am worried about my shraddha and tarpana, am I bothered about Jivatma or Paramatma? When a person, when he dies, if he is worried about his the Shraddha, who will do for me, who will do Tarpana for me, is he worried about what? Jivatma or Paramatma? Only Jivatma. So both Karma Kandis and Jnana Kandis, they talk about both Jivatma and Paramatma. In the first mantra, the heroes have been introduced. Now from the second mantra onwards, more about these two Atmas will be talked about, which we will see in the next webinar. यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य यः परः स महेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।